Welcome back to the Dorbeck Insider on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 53 past the hour. Is the government dysfunctional, really beyond repair? And if so, is that because of its sheer size? Vanity Fair magazine this month, their Washington reporter Todd Purdom has an inside look at the workings of the Obama White House. And Purdom reports that there are now about 100 people who have some variation on the title assistant to the president. Well, what does that all mean for you? And does it make it almost impossible for you to get your job done? Analysis from Tom Shoup, the editor-in-chief of Government Executive. He picked that story to talk about in this week in our regular visit with him. Always a pleasure to have you here, Tom.
Great to be here, Chris.
Did you have a nice Labor Day weekend?
I did. It was nice and quiet.
Yeah. You know what today is? Today is the birthday of Uncle Sam. It's the day that Uncle Sam actually was born.
Yes, I saw that on your Twitter feed, actually, and posted a blog item myself.
I love the idea. It's very, very cool. Speaking of your blog, you wrote about this Vanity Fair piece, which is one of those big Vanity Fair pieces, but I was delving into it, and a lot of interesting details there. And they talk a lot about the size of government.
Yeah, it's really, first of all, the piece is a very sort of in-depth look inside the Obama White House and what a sort of typical day is like. But it's sort of, I really was struck by this issue of how many assistants to the president work at the White House.
Yeah.
Now there are 100 of them or whatever, and dealing with all manner of issues. And they're sort of, in some ways, a redundant level of management of the entire executive branch. And that's one sentence just totally struck me in the piece where he wrote that, there needs to be this many people because everything in the executive branch funnels through the White House. And my response to that is, why? Why does that need to be the case, that everything in the executive branch must funnel through the White House? I don't think that always used to be the case.
And I think that was a concern that a lot of members of Congress had about the czars, all the czars, White House czars. Mm-hmm. And I think part of the idea the White House had was, okay, agencies don't seem to be able to talk to each other very well. So if we bring it all through the White House, then at least there'll be that conversation. It doesn't always work that way.
Right. I think that's true. And I think there's also a growing lack of trust in the bureaucracy itself, both by Democrats and Republicans who've been in the White House, that it seems distant from them, they don't really understand it, and they want to have their own level of control over the policy initiatives they think are important. And I think that's what it is. It's really an element of, we want to control this centrally, and we don't trust you to do it on your own, which I think works ultimately to their disadvantage. If there was a greater level of trust in people who have worked their whole careers in these various areas throughout the very specialized areas across the entire executive branch, I think in the end, government would probably be more effective.
And we've seen that work very well. In fact, FEMA seems to be much more effective, where there is there seems to be, at least from an outsider's point of view, a better relationship between the political leadership and the career officials, and they almost seem to be on the same page in a lot of degrees.
Yeah, that's right. You get agencies like that where you get someone who has demonstrated knowledge and experience. They win the trust of the people who work in their agency. The other thing that I noted in my response to this piece was, it's when it comes down to these crisis situations, think how often the people who are tapped to finally get to the solution are career people in government.
Right.
Thad Allen being the great example. Now, twice he's sort of gone into crisis situations and said, okay, let me bring my expertise to bear. Let's provide some leadership here, and let's get focused on results and get where we need to go. And it is just, frankly, easier for people to do that who have risen to the top in the government context. Not to suggest that everyone who works for government is brilliant, but there are people who have risen to the top who are very good at what they do.
The other question you raised, and I really loved it, why must we always frame this in terms of the size of government?
Right. That tends to be the default response, is we have all these things we have to do. We have all these people in the White House who manage them. Your government's just too big. We should just have less government. And I think, first of all, for the reasons I said, I'm not sure that too much government is necessarily the problem. Second, I just think it's not a useful debate anymore, because people the demand, people demand more and more of government. And they don't really want less of it. They want government to solve all of these fundamental problems.
What question? What problem do you want off the plate?
Right.
And in fact, I was reading Financial Times had this story over the weekend that UCLA is actually, their business school is going to start reducing its dependence on money from the state, because guess what? The state doesn't have much these days, the state of California. And they pointed out that I think it was 15 years ago, the state spent about 3% on jails and 7% on schools, on education, higher education, and now that's almost reversed. So part of it is priorities. Tom Shoup, Editor-in-Chief of Government Executive. We have a link to his story and to this conversation on our website, federalnewsradio.com/DoraBeck Insider. Thank you, Tom.